Vav. In the previous parakim, we've been discussing Adam Rishon and the chait of Adam Rishon and the repercussions of the chait of Adam Rishon. This parak, it seems like it really has nothing to do with what we were talking about before. It talks about, you know, the entrance to Gan Eden and the entrance to Gehenim. I think that the could be one way of understanding it is because of the chait of Adam Rishon, he was kicked out of Gan Eden. So once we're talking about him getting kicked out of Gan Eden, so now we speak a little bit about what's in Gan Eden and what's in Gehenim. Could be 15, chapter 15.
Okay.
I'll tell you what page it's on. It's on page Samach Zayin. So this parak talks about Gan Eden and Gehenim. Pash could be it's because we spoke about Adam Rishon getting kicked out of there, so we speak about like what is it more. Another pshat is that in this parak we're going to talk about two mahalchim in Gan, of doing righteousness called Tzedakah and Chesed, and we're going to speak about what's the difference between Tzedakah and Chesed. And once we're talking about in Yonim of Gemilas Chasadim, this could be an introduction to the next parak, which the next parak speaks about doing chesed by chasanas, and then the parak after that is doing chesed by avelus. Okay, so it could be that's what the kesher is with this parak. This parak is pretty straightforward, but the end is a little bit problematic. So most of the discussion really is going to be at the end of the parak, not the beginning. But I hope we can get to the end because it's a short parak, so I want to try to finish it today. So if we could try to hold the questions till we get to the end, it'll be more likely that we'll be able to finish the parak. Okay, parak tezva. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Rabbi Eliezer says, "Ani shomati ba'oznai. I heard in my ears Hashem tzvokis medaber. Hashem speaking." That type of lashon is the lashon that we say by a navi. A navi hears Hashem speaking. Rabbi Eliezer wasn't a navi. As the Mefarshim point out, there's actually a Mefarsha Gemara Yerushalmi where Belezer himself says, "I'm not a Navi." But we know he's not a Navi. Nevuah ended at the beginning of the second base of Migdash by Chagai Zechariah Malachi, where the last of the Nevi'im, where Belezer lived at the generation at the end of the second base of Migdash. So Nevuah, he wasn't a Navi. He uses this Lashon, either he's borrowing a Lashon, like a Lashon of a Navi, or he's trying to tell us that what I'm about to tell you is so clear to me, it's as if Hashem spoke it to me and told it to me straight out. What did Hashem say? He said this pasuk, "Re'ein osati lefanacha yoim esachayim vesatoiv vesamoves vesvara." Hashem, it's a pasuk in Parshas Netzavim. Hashem said, "See that I put in front of you today life and good, death and bad." Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu, "Harei shnei dvorim halolu nosati lehem l'Yisrael." I gave two things, these two elements to Klal Yisrael. Echad shal toiva ve'echad shal ra. One is good, one is bad. There's two options that a person has. He has the option of going with good and going with bad. Shal toiva hi chay. The good option is life. V'shal ra hi shal mavus. And the option of bad, that's death. So basically Rabbi Eliezer is saying that a person has a choice in his life. He can choose Chaim as a Taiv on one hand, or as a Maves as Ora on the other hand. That's the Kavan over here. Fine. Those are the two options that a person has. What does it mean that Chaim is Taiv, Taiv is Chaim, and Ra is Maves? What does that mean? So Rabbi Eliyahu Meizmir explains that what it means is that even though it looks like sometimes it looks like a Rasha is living it up and a Tzaddik is suffering, so it looks like, you know, when you choose the good path, so then bad comes to you, and when you choose the bad path, good comes to you. So, you know, it's not really true because we're talking about Chaim and Mavis, we're talking about in Olam Haba. What's going to be with a person in Olam Haba? If he chooses the good path, even if in Olam Hazeh it looks like it's bad for him, he's suffering or whatever, So really that's a good, because Hashem is making him suffer, because every person who's, even if he's a good person, he does some bad things. And every person who's a completely, who's bad, some a bad person, does some good things. So Hashem wants to make it that the good person, when he goes to Olam Haba, he'll get pure schar. So he gets all the punishments for the small bad things that he did in this world, he gets it in this world, so that by the time he goes to the next world, he's already clean from those affairs. And then Hashem does for the bad person the opposite. The bad person, even the worst people, Mali Averis Karimain, is still going to have some good things that he's done in his life. So Hashem gives his reward for the good things in Olam Hazeh, so that when he goes to Olam Haba, he'll get complete punishment. So the Toiv, even though Toiv, it seems like sometimes a person does Toiv and he gets bad in this world, it's HaToiv Es HaChayim. HaChayim Es HaToiv. A person is going to get Chayim in Olam Haba. And the Ra, a person who chooses Ra, even though it looks like he gets good in this world, he goes to, he's really going to have Mavis when it comes to Olam Haba.
One question now.
Yeah.
What is a good person? Meaning, when he's a good person who does not good things. But what does it mean that he's a good person? And who, and on the opposite side, who's the Ra guy who does? I mean, who's Ra? I mean, are we defined by how we behave?
So in some ways,
a good person just stop.
So
so.
More, so in the Rambam and Hilchos Tshuva, it sounds like, you know, if you're mostly this, then you're this. If you're mostly that, then you're that. It goes by most. And in other places, it sounds like Hashem has a certain cheshvin that we don't understand what the cheshvin is, of what mitzvahs weigh more and which averas weigh more. And based on that cheshvin, Hashem decides if a person is mostly a rasha or mostly a tzaddik. We don't know which of those mitzvahs, which mitzvah weighs more and which mitzvah weighs less. And I tell you, Matan Schar and Shal Mitzvahs, the Mishnah in Avos, Tavizor Bekalaka Bechamura. So we don't know what the cheshvin is.
But there is a good person and there's a bad person.
Right.
And the good person can do bad things.
Right.
Anyway, okay.
Not even can, I think. It's more than can. It is. That's just the way it is. People, that's the way people are. There's no one who's completely, completely good and I think it's impossible. There's always something.
Since the taste of eggs are gone, everything's mixed together.
Everything's mixed together, right.
Good point.
So let's start with the beginning, the good one. Shel Toiva, of the good, the good option of good. So in the option of good, Yesh bo shnei drachim. There's two paths in the option of good. Echad shel tzedaka, the echad shel chesed. One path is tzedaka and one path is chesed. So what does it mean tzedaka and chesed? So Mufarshim say different things. There's a pirush on Pirkei d'Abeliezer, it's printed in the fancy one in the back, called Pirush Rabbeinu Yedoya HaPnini. I think he's from the Rishon, from the time of Girish Sfarad, something like that. So he writes that what it means, tztaka and chesed, is that a tztaka or tzaddik is like tzaddik versus rasha. Right? What's a tzaddik versus rasha? A rasha is a person who doesn't keep what he's supposed to do, and a tzaddik is a person who keeps what he's supposed to do. That's what tzaddik is. A tzaddik is he keeps what he's supposed to do. A chesed is related to the word chesed, because a chesed does more than what he's supposed to do. Tzaddik does, okay, this is what halacha is b'chayiv me, I do exactly that, I'm not doing less than that, because I'm not rasha, I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to do. A chesed does more than what he's supposed to do. He distances himself from averas more than is necessary api tzaddik. He's on a more pious. Like in English, it's meduktak pretty well in English. In English, I'd say a tzaddik is a righteous person. What does it mean righteous? Righteous comes like the word right. He's doing what's right. A chassid is pious. He's like it's more than that. It's more than stam what's right. He's doing more than he's adding more to it. That's a tzedaka and chassid. So in the option of toiv, There's two mahalachim. There's the mahalach of tzedaka and the mahalach of chesed. That's the pshat of Rabbeinu Yedaya Pnini. The Radal says that tzedaka and chesed is like this. Tzedaka is ben adam l'makom, a tzaddik, what's it mean? Like when you think, oh, this guy's a big tzaddik, what is he like? He has a long shmir esrei, you know. You see that he davens with good dvikus and these type of things. This is a tzaddik. It's benadam amachem, and benadam machaver. That's called chesed. When you're doing to somebody else, you're helping him out. So that's called benadam lachaver. So according to the Radal, tzedakah and chesed is benadam amachem and benadam lachaver. So you have these two paths in the option of teiva. Eliyahu Navi, he is the in between of between tzedakah and chesed. Adam, when a person comes, let's say towards Gan Eden to enter, Eliyahu Machriz Oimer. Eliyahu Navi calls out and says, "Pischu Shiorim, open the gates, v'yavoi goy tzaddik, and the righteous nation shall enter. Shomer Emunim, the one who guards the Emunim, the trustworthiness, and it says emunim in plural, two, as if there's two forms of trustworthiness. So the Rabbi Yomi Yisrael says that's because that's the maramis what we're talking about. There's two emunim: there's emuna of chesed and emuna of tzedaka. So Eliyahu is saying, okay, enter, coming into both of these in both of these paths. Come into Gan Eden, we're going to look at both of these paths. Ushmuel Anavi, Oman ben Shnei Drachim Halalu. Shmuel Anavi is standing, the way it's supposed to be understood is like this. Shmuel Anavi, let's say when he was alive, he stood between these two paths. He looked at himself, Omar, he said, Be'ezer derech eilich, which path should I take? Should I take the path of tzedakah, or should I take the path of chesed? So in some way, Shmuel Anavi understood that these two paths are sort of contradictory. There's one of tzedakah and one of chesed, and he's like, I have to make a decision. Which way am I going? Am I going to, let's say, if you learn like the Radal, so it's one's ben adam l'makom, one's ben adam l'chavera. So it's one of like, what's going to be my focus in life? Ben adam l'makom or ben adam l'chavera? Which path should I take? Im elech b'shal tzedakah, if I go with the, im elech shal chesed, shal tzedakah teivim mimeno. If I go with the path of chesed, so I'm losing out because the path of tzedakah is better than it. If I go in the path of tzedakah, so I'm also losing out because the path of chesed is better. Rather, I testify about the heavens and the earth should testify about me that I'm not going to just leave both of these paths. I'm going to take both of these paths. So Shmuel Nevi said about himself, I'm going to take both, I'm going to do both, chesed and tzedakah. Even though it might seem like it's a contradiction, I'm going to take both paths, chesed and tzedakah. So if we said chesed and tzedakah is like the Radal, ben adam l'makom, ben adam l'chaveira, so we can understand a little bit that he was misupik, you know, which one is better, and he's going to do both. He's going to focus on both in his life. If we understand that, like Rabbeinu Yudaya Pnini, that the pshat is that tzedakah is, let's say, b'shuras adin, what's b'chayiv, what the Torah is b'chayiv you, and chesed is lifnim b'shuras adin, more than that. So then what happened over here? What was he mesupik about? What was Shmuel Levi mesupik about? And then how did he answer it up in the end? So, Pashtus, and actually Rav Chaim Falachi asks this, is the Gemara in Misachas Sukkah. Gemara in Sukkah says that G'dayla Gemilas Chasadim mit Tzedakah. Gemilas Chasadim is better than Tzedakah. Let's say, you know, the way they would say it is like this. You have a guy, a poor man, yeah, he doesn't have any money. So you could give him $100, or you could give him a job. What's better? Give him a job. So Gemilas Chasadim, helping him out, is better than just giving him money. So the point is that it sounds like from that Gemara, the Chesed is better than Tzedakah. We also had a Gemara in Nida that I mentioned 2 weeks ago, about fingernails. So he said, Chassid, he burns his fingernails because it's completely gone. A tzaddik, who's, let's say, it seems like on a lower level, he doesn't burn it to get rid of it completely. He buries it, but burying it, you know, it could still be revealed. So you see that a chassid is better than a tzaddik. A chassid is more lifnim mishur sadin. So what was Shmuel Navi Mesupik about? Should I be like a chassid or a tzaddik? Chassid is much better than a tzaddik. So what's the shayla over here? So I think the word is that sometimes it's better to go like the din. Sometimes it's better to not go lifnei mishuras hadin, especially when like you're doing, let's say, an extra chumrah, and somehow your chumrah is imposing on other people. So then it's better to forget about the chumrah and go with what the actual halacha is.
The
Masil Sharm says this. Yeah, Masil Sharm says where? Which parak?
Maybe it's in Chassidus.
Chassidus.
Maybe it's. I think it's after Chassidus. Oh. He says that if you if it's going to look like you're doing something correct, I'll peel halacha. But the people look at it as, oh, he's such a holy person, and it's not going to look good. So the Masil Sharm says that a chassid, because I don't remember, has to be able to judge what is and what is not the yashar path.
Oh.
But he should not do the really holy thing, even though it's completely acceptable.
So it seems that that's what Shmuel Navi was faced with, and he decided, I'm going to take both. I'm going to be a tzaddik when I need to be a tzaddik, and not go lefnei the mishur sadin. And when I could, then I'll be a chassid. I'm both. That's why I understood what's happening over according to the Rabbi Yehudaya opinion. Back later, Omar Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Hashem said, Shmuel, ato amadata ben shnei adrachim atovim ha'elu. Shmuel, you stood between these two paths, and you decided to choose both of them. Chayecha, I swear that afani neisid lecha sholish matanis temes. I'm also going to give you three good presents. L'amegcha, this comes to teach you, shukom yishuhu reitze v'eisit tztaka u'kvil sasadim. Anyone who wants and does tztaka and kvil sasadim, the Radak changes the Gersa to Reidif for Eisit Tzaka and Gvil Sosadim. Not just he wants, he chases after it, and he does Tzaka and Gvil Sosadim. Yerish Shalish Matanis Tevis. He inherits three good presents. The Elohim, these are the three good presents. Chayim, life, Tzaka, covet, and honor. Shana says in the Pasuk, Reidif Tzaka v'chesed, a person who chases after Tzaka and Chesed, Yimtza Chayim Tzaka v'chavet. He's going to find Chayim Tzaka and covet.
Oh.
What does it mean over here that Shmuel Anavi chose the, he took both of these things, and he took stock on Chesed, and he went with the both paths? So the Radha puts out an interesting idea that we find the Pasuk says Moshe Aaron b'chayanov u'Shmuel b'kari Shemoy. And the Gemara says about this Pasuk, we see from this Pasuk that Shmuel Anavi was equal to Moshe and Aaron. So in what way is Shmuel Anavi equal to Moshe and Aaron? So the Radha says like this, Moshe and Aaron are tztaka and chesed. And when we're saying that Shmuel Anavi is equal to Moshe and Aaron, we're saying that Shmuel Anavi had both the midas of tztaka and chesed together. Why? Moshe Rabbeinu is tztaka. Says, Moshe Rabbeinu, he's the one who revealed what the Shura Sadin is. He brought us the Torah. That's Shura Sadin. That is the Tztaka. And Aaron HaKoyin, Aaron is Ayiv Shalom V'Ayiv Shalom, Ayiv is the Brias V'Kovim HaTorah. We spoke about it in Perek Ches, I believe it was, about the role of a Koyin to bring peace between people. That's what a Chassid does. A Chassid, especially if you learn the Radal L'Shitasa, understands that Tztaka and Chassid is Benad l'makam, benad l'chaverit. So Moshe Rabbeinu is benad l'makam, tztaka, and Aaron HaKohen is benad l'chaverit, chesed. That those are the two things that he's working with. And by Aaron HaKohen it says, Ulelevi Omar, the Parshas says to Bracha, Ulelevi Omar, Tumecha v'urecha li'ish chasidecha. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Levi, Tumecha v'urecha the Ur v'tumim li'ish chasidecha. Goes to the ish chasidecha. Goes to the Kohen Gadol. Who's the Kohen Gadol? Aaron HaKohen is the Ish Chasidecha. It's called a Chasid. And by Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Vezayis Abracha, it says, Mamash last pasuk in Chumash, says, Tzidkas Hashem Asa. What did Moshe Rabbeinu do? Tzidkas Hashem. That's what he did. Tzidkas. Tzidkas Hashem. The law of Hashem. The righteousness of the law. So that's Moshe and Aaron.
Tzidkas
Hasedek.
That's
talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, the Yerzed of Moshe Rabbeinu. Oh, so we said that Shmuel Nabi got three presents. Chayim, Tztaka, and Kovet. What's Chayim, Tztaka, and Kovet? So one is life. Well, first of all, I'm bothered by, what do you mean life? Shmuel Nabi actually died when he was 52 years old. Because I'll tell us, Is it Mufurshin Pasuk? I don't think it's a Mufurshin Pasuk, but Chazal tells us that Shmuel Avi died when he was 52. Maybe it's in the Mufurshin Pasuk, I'm not sure. He died when he was 52. Now, 52 is not such a long life. So the Medrash says, oh, Shmuel Avi, he got Chaim. What's the Chaim?
Who said that's not a long life?
What? Well, Moshe made them to 120. That's more than double 52.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeshua lived what, to 111. That's also more than double. Mm-hmm. So Rabbi Yomi Izmir says that the Chaim wasn't talking about his own life. The Chaim was talking about the life of his kids. Because Chazal tell us that Shmuel Avi, what did Shmuel Avi used to do? He had a Beis Din. His business was a very unique business. It was a traveling business. You know, he had his RV and he would travel around the country, being a business for whoever needed it. And Shmuel of his sons, they said, "Wait a second. You know, when Shmuel of his sort of retired and his sons were going to take over the business, so they said, "Wait a second. We should go to the people. They should come to us. We're going to sit over here in the Mishpanish or whatever, and you come to us. We're not coming to you. You come to us." So Chazal tells us that Shmuel Avi's sons were also big tzaddikim, but they weren't on the same level as Shmuel Avi. And that Be'etim, Hashem really Be'etim would punish them and gotten rid of his sons for deviating from his path. But Hashem kept them alive. And Eli Kayin's sons also, they didn't continue the path of their father. Eli Kayin was Shmuel Avi's predecessor. They didn't follow the path of their father, and they died in the lifetime of their father. And they died before Eli Kayin. So really, Shmuel Avi's sons were supposed to die in his lifetime as well. But Hashem gave Shmuel Avi a special matana of Chaim. Hashem gave extra life to his sons that they didn't die early. That's the way that Rabbi Leo Meizmer understands what's happening over here. What's the covet? So the covet is another interesting. It could be the Radal's also saying the same shot. What's the covet? So the covet is, the Gemara says that Shmuel Navi, even though he died young, but kaftar al zikna, he became old very quickly. So even though he was only 52 years old, but he wasn't like a spring chicken. You know, he had like a long white beard, and he was probably hunched over, and he looked like an old man. So when he walks into the shul, everyone stands up. Oh, he's an old man. So they gave him the covet as if he was an old man, more so than the covet that would come to a 52-year-old person. What's the tzedakah? The Mefreshim don't speak about what the tzedakah is. Not sure why. Okay.
If we're not talking about it, it's probably obvious.
What?
Obvious.
Huh?
It's obvious.
It's obvious what the tzedakah is? Oh, so if it's obvious, please enlighten us.
Tzedakah is an idea that we said before. He got the ability to do...
No, he said that in his chus that he did tzedakah and chesed, so he got chaim tzedakah and kavod. Right. So what's that tzedakah that Hashem gave him exactly? I'm not sure what that means.
The chorah could mean that he behaved properly with everybody, and everyone behaved properly with him.
Oh, could be.
Right. And did Tzedek was done with him.
Right.
Nobody challenged him in any
way.
Yeah, could
be. It's interesting he chose this and he got it as a present.
Right.
The other two...
Are new things.
It's
like a...
No, this.
Could be.
Right.
Okay, so that's on... this is a good option. Now we're talking about the bad option. Vishal Ra'a. It's interesting. We said that when a person comes to Gan Eden, so Eliyahu Novi is there, he says, Pischu Shorim Vyova Great Sadik Shemi Amunim. And the Medrash brought like a mashal from Shmuel Novi, who took both of these two paths of Staka and Chesed. There's other gemara about the entrance to Gan Eden. There's a gemara that says that Avraham Avinu sits by the entrance to Gehenim. That's more of Gehenim. But Avraham Avinu says by the entrance to Gehenim, and anyone who has a bris milah, he pulls him out of Gehenim. So we have, apparently Rav Nachman in Breslov said that if a person goes to visit his kever in Uman, so he's going to pull him out of Gehenim by his payas. I saw, who's in charge of Gehenim? Who's in charge of the Pischei Gehenim? So there's a medrash that says that Paro is in charge of Pischei Gehenim. Paro. It's brought in the Eitz Midrashim, page 94. Paro, it says, Paro Harosha is sits there and Mishamar Pischa Shel Gehenim, and he tells people, Loi Hayalachem, will we be many Kishayisi Mitzrayim? You didn't learn from me when I was in Mitzrayim, if you do bad, you get punished. Vadayin Yeshiv Mishamar Kofas. Interesting. I seem to remember there's also mentions that said Nebuchadnezzar is in charge of Gehenna, but I couldn't find it.
Yeah, all the bad guys.
All the bad guys, yeah. And, yeah. Okay. The Shol Ra. So the bad option, Yeshba Arba Psachim. There's four, let's call it doors. What's Valkol? There's four doors or four openings to Gehenna. There's four. You have to go through four doors to get into Gehenna. Let's say it like that. V'kol pesach u'pesach shiva shomrim malachim yoshvim. At each entrance to get into Gehenna, there's seven malachim that are sitting and watching it. Arba mibachutz u'shleishim mibifrim. Four outside each door and three inside each door. I don't know what the significance of that is. Elu shebachutz rachmanim hem. The four that are outside of the door are malachim of rachmanis. Elu shebifnim achzorim hem. The three that are inside the door are malachim of cruelty. Uchishiyavu adin likanis v'pesach rishon. When a man comes to go into the first door, malachim harachmanim makdim meisay. The malachim, the angels of mercy are greet him. They greet him in front of the door. They say to him, "Why are you going to enter in this fire? Why would you want to go inside with this rishayim and with these wicked people and with the embers of fire? Shma lanu v'shuv b'shuva. Listen to us." And return in tshuva. Go do tshuva. Now I have a theological problem with this, because when a person is dead, you can't do tshuva.
Right.
So how can the malach be giving him an option to do tshuva? So when we finish this part, I'll explain how I understood this medrash, not literally. Im shomalahem mutav. So the malach said, don't go into door number one. Do tshuva. Im shomalahem mutav. If they listen to him, if the guy listens to him, good. Vimlav, if he doesn't listen to him, so here the Radal changes the Gersa. It's supposed to say, Oy Melahem Behem Heim Chai. If a person doesn't do tshuva, he's telling the Malachim, Behem Heim Chai, my life is with them, with these people in Gehenna and with the fire of Gehenna, I associate myself with them. I want to be with them. So Kazutte, go. Fine, so he goes into the first door, and when you go into what's there? Another room with another door. So Bolikonis Professor Hashini. Now you want to go to the next door. Oymrimloy, they say to him, Harenichnas la Pesach Harishay. You went through the first door. Altikanis Professor Hashini. Don't go on the second door. Miyad Malachim Rachmanim Makdimin Isay. Oh, I'm sorry. The Malachim that were inside the first room, they tell him, you know, don't go into the second door. And then he's like, no, I'm going. And the Malachim Rachmanim, the angels of mercy that are outside the door of the second door, come and greet him when he goes to the door. And they say to him, why do you want to be distanced from the Torah of Hashem? That they're going to call you an impure person, and people are going to run away from you. Shema alana v'shuv, listen to us and do tshuva. So they're giving him another option. If he listened to them and he did tshuva, good. If he didn't, the same gears again. If he doesn't do tshuva, he's telling them, no, I associate with these people in Gehenna. I want to be like them. I'm going that way. Fine. So he goes into the second door.
He has no idea what he's getting himself into.
He doesn't know what he's getting himself into. He goes into the second door. Now he's in another room with a third door. So Bali Kanes of Pesach HaShlishi is coming towards the third door. the angels that are inside the second room tell him, Harei nechnasta bepesach rishon v'sheni. You went through the first door and the second door. Malach halikanes bepesach shlishi. Why do you want to go through the third door? Don't go through the third door. Miad malachei harachmanim makdim reisei. And then the merciful angels that are outside the third door come and they greet him. V'arim lo, they say to him, Malach halias machu misefer chayim. Why do you want to be erased from the Sefer HaChaim? And we're talking about a guy who's already dead. So what's the Sefer HaChaim? So we see from here that when we talk about Sefer HaChaim and Sefer HaMesim, it doesn't mean the way we on the Pashup Shad is that it means that Hashem writes in a book. Now in Rosh Hashanah, we say Shlosh Hasfarim Neftachim Lefanav, Sefer HaChaim, Sefer HaMesim, Sefer Benin, whatever. So Pashup just means Hashem's going to write in a book who's going to die this year, who's going to live this year. Sefer HaChaim, who's going to live, Sefer HaMesim, who's going to die. Pashtus, that's what it means, but it's mufor from many places that that's not the pshat. Sefer Chaim and Sefer Mesim means the book of the people that are alive and the book of the people that are dead. The people that are alive, that's really one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is Sefer Chaim and Sefer Mesim is talking about Olam Haba. What type of Olam Haba are they getting? A Chaim think of Olam Haba or a Mesim think of Olam Haba? I wrote a whole thing about this once. If you like it, I could send it to you. Why should you be erased from the Sefer Chaim? Loi toiv shetiyah chokuk miyoscha machuk, which rhymes. Isn't it better for you to be inscribed rather than erased? So don't go into the third door. Shma lanu v'shuv. Listen to us and do tshuva. Im shamalayim mutav. If you listen to them, good. Vim lav. If you didn't listen to them. Woe unto him and his head. He's going to be getting in big trouble. So he goes into the third door. And what happens? He's in a third room, and there's a door, a fourth door. He's going towards the fourth door. The people in the third room tell him, "Hari nechnasta bepesach shlishi, alti chazav pesach revi." You went into the third door. Don't go to the fourth door. Don't do it. Miyan malachei harachmanim makdim reisei. Immediately, the merciful angels that are outside the fourth door come and they greet him for emunah, and they say to him, "Hari nechnasta lachol pesachim alo." You went through all these doors. V'lo yishamata v'yashavta. You can read it like this: V'lo yishamata. You didn't listen to us. V'yashavta, and you stood in your same mahalach. The Radal has a different gersa. V'lo yishamata v'yashavta. You didn't listen to us and do tshuva. Or the gersa of the Marzu is the same idea. Shamata v'lo yishavta. You heard us and you didn't do tshuva. You didn't do tshuva. Ad ato HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekabel hashavim. Until this point, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to accept people who do tshuva. Ad ato HaKadosh Baruch Hu moichal avoynes v'seleach. Until this point, Hashem is going to forgive averes and erase them. And until this point, Hashem is telling you every day, go, return, come, return. Return, O wayward sons. Im shamalayim, if you would have listened, mutav, it's good. Vim lav, oy lo mazel, woe unto him and his mazel. And he doesn't listen. He goes to the fourth path. He goes into the fourth door. Amru hachzorim, the cruel angels say, Hoyavalei shama, since he didn't listen, Teitzei ruchoi, his spirit should go out. Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, Teitzei ruchoi yoshuv lad mosoi. His spirit will go out, it'll return to this land. Valei makos of Omer, about this whole story, the Pasuk says in Eov, Hein kol ele yifal kel pamayim. All these things Hashem does twice. At the end of the Pasuk, pamayim shalish, twice, three times im gever, with a man. Hashem does two, three times with a person, and then, you know, then there's no more choice. So I don't know what. So I said before, I have a theological problem with this midrash, because it's saying that even after a person dies on his way to Gehenna, you know, the Pashup Shad is saying that the Malachim are saying like, oh, you can still do tshuva, you can still do tshuva, and then he loses it. The way we understand things, it's once a person dies, it's too late. You can do whatever you want in this world. Torah, mitzvahs, averas, tshuva, whatever. But once you die, that's it. That's all. It's all over. Then whatever you have, you have. Whatever you don't have, you don't have. Like the Gemara says, that Olam Hazeh is like a chasna. Kibei hilula, Olam Hazeh is like a chasna. Chatoif v'achoyo. You grab and eat as much as you can. Why? Once the chasna is over, that's it. There's no more food. Right? Well, you can't get any. So too, Olam Hazeh is the same thing. The Mesillas Yesharim brings over there in the beginning. Olam Hazeh is like during the week, and Olam Haba is like Shabbos. Misha Tarach b'Erev Shabbos. If you work and you do things on Erev Shabbos, so then you can eat on Shabbos. Because on Shabbos, you can't do anything anymore. You can't prepare anymore. So if you work on Erev Shabbos and you prepare everything, so then you can eat on Shabbos. If you don't work on Erev Shabbos, you don't prepare it, then there's nothing you can do on Shabbos. So the same thing, a person in this world, you do whatever you can, do mitzvahs and tshuva or whatever, and then when you get to the next world, that's it. You're left with what you have. You can't change around anymore. So I'm assuming that this medrash, you can't take it mamish literally. The Radal has a tzad to say that the medrash is talking about gilgulim. The person does affairs and then he comes, the different doors, meaning different chances to come back to this world and do tshuva and rectify what you did in your previous gilgul. And then if a person after four gilgulim doesn't end up rectifying it, so then he mamish goes to Gehenna. He has a tzad to say that, then he says that he doesn't like that pshat. So it could be there's another way of understanding what's happening over here. Could be a good say like this. I heard from different people, different chashuv people, what is Gehenna? Different mahalchim, what's supposed to be Gehenna, what Gehenna is supposed to be. There's a famous word they say from the Vilna Gaon, what is Gehenna? There's no two places of Gan Eden and Gehenna. Really, Gehenna, Gan Eden is really one place. There's one big base manish up in Shemayim. And for a person who during his life was connected to the Torah, he learned Torah, he was mechabed talmid chachamim, he wanted to understand things, he had shaychus to Torah and mitzvahs. So when he gets to that big base manish in there, mamish Gan Eden for him. He gets to handle learning with all the chashuva people, and he gets to hear all kinds of shiur. It's mamish Gan Eden for him. But a person who during his lifetime was distanced himself from these things, he didn't care about Torah, he didn't want to hear Torah, he ran away from it, now he's stuck for eternity in this big fat base medrash, and there's nothing for him, that's mamish Gehenna for him. That's what they say from the Vilna Gaon. I heard another pshat, I think they say this from the Chofetz Chaim, but I'm not sure. So what's Gan Eden and Gehenna? A similar idea. There's no two things, Gan Eden and Gehenna. Really what Gan Eden and Gehenna is, they take a video of your whole life, and you sit down over there in the big movie theater in Shemayim, and you watch a video of your entire life. And when you watch a video of your entire life, all the mitzvahs that you do, so you get a special hana out of seeing yourself doing those mitzvahs. And every aver that a person did, he gets a certain pain from seeing himself doing those averes. Because once a person reaches Shemayim and the emes is all revealed to him, so then of course you would want to have done all the emes, right? So when you go back and you look at everything you did in your life, so everything good that you did, so you feel certain nana meziva shchina in Gan Eden. And then when you see something bad that you did in your life, so then you get a certain pain and a suffering. That's what it means, Gan Eden and Gehenna. It's looking back at your life and then seeing what you did good and what you did bad. That itself is the reward and the punishment. There's such a mahal. So I wanted to say that it could be that that's what it means over here. When a person, let's say, does averus in this world, so Hashem gives him many, many chances to do tshuva. Hashem, a person who's about to do an avera, okay, Hashem also gives him many chances to stop himself from doing an avera. Different technical things, a person wants to do such and such a avera, and Hashem makes it that, let's say he wants to go into this room and do an avera, the door is closed. So at this point, you could turn back and not do the avera. No, what do? You go, okay, I'm going to go find the key. I found the key. I can't find the key. No, so what do you do? Okay, exert more effort. Go ask my neighbor. He has a key, etc. And then Hashem gives a person. Oh, the neighbor's not home. Okay, so then I'll go ask the other. Hashem gives a person different chances to not do an avera. Or if a person didn't aver, Hashem gives him different chances, you know, to do tshuva. Hashem will put different things in his head, remind him about his avera, so that he'll have a chance to do tshuva, or give him a chance to not do that avera again, which is a dagger of tshuva. A person has these different options in his life, and then when a person doesn't go with those options, doesn't take the opportunity to do tshuva, or take the opportunity to hold himself back from doing an avera, then a person goes after a person dies and goes up to Shemayim, so they show him, look, you're saying you did this avera, but before you did this avera, you had to walk through four doors to get there. And that's the tzar that a person goes through in Gehenim. That he realizes how much he had to go and dafka to do that avera. That he had so many chances not to do it, or so many chances to do tshuva, and he still didn't do tshuva. He had to walk through four doors and speak to all these different malachim. We're talking to, not literally that he had to walk through four doors to speak to malachim, but that Hashem gave him different chances, and he messed up on those chances. That's the Gehenim of him. That's the way I want to understand it.
Regret, and you can't do anything about it.
Right. Regret, and you can't do anything about it. That's the worst.
Okay. And what would be the pshat that there are four angels saying, don't go in that door, but there are three angels saying, go further, go.
I don't know. I'm not pretending to know all four, the three, to, four, to have an explanation of all the different pratim over here. The three and the four and the... I'm not sure, I don't know.
Obviously, when you got the minute on the tray, we move and we move it around.
Right.
We see that 500 in the Chumash, right?
Right.
500 something.
Because Chazal tells us that Kadosh Baruch Hu is Eisa Chesed La'alafim. He does Chesed for 2,000 generations.
Right.
To someone who does a good thing, Hashem gives Chesed for 2,000 generations. Right. But when a person doesn't avera, so al shilishim ve'al ribim. Only three, four generations Hashem punishes, and then afterwards Hashem doesn't punish. So you see that it's 500 times more. Yeah. So what does that have to do?
You were talking about the four and the three.
So you're saying the three and the four is sort of like a remnant to the fact that Hashem punishes for 3-4 generations.
Okay. It's more to choose correctly. There's four angels there to try and get you to do tshuva. But once you've passed by them, there's only three angels telling you to go onwards.
Right.
Towards the Ra. I don't know. You're saying good, but it's not a full four.
It's I don't know how much we can understand these things. The point, when we come across things like this, the point is that we try to take out the lesson that we can understand from it, and then go weiter. We're not trying to study Kabbalah here. We're trying to have some sort of understanding and get something out of it.
We, as a Kabbalah Hasidim, we try to take the Hasidim and learn it out, you know, in a way to understand the best of our ability. But everybody's got their own way of learning.
One day when I'm holding over there and I understand and I have a deeper understanding of it after I'm 40. Okay, the last line in this parak is a shtickle problematic, and the mafarshim say that, like, you know, we checked and we tried to figure out, we don't understand what in the world it's talking about, but they have a few proposals, and we'll try to use what they say. First, we'll read it the way it's written in front of us and sort of translate it, and it will work from there. V'chein hu kairei le'Eliezer. And so he calls to Eliezer. Omar lo yakadosh baruch hu. Hashem said to him, Ata asisas atzvecha kichut ha'mishosh. You made yourself like a three-pronged rope. Chayach, not pronged, what's the word I'm looking for? A three-tired rope. Rope that's made of like three strings. Three twine, thrice twined. Chayacha, I swear that afani kare alacha zeh pasuk. I'm going to call about you this pasuk. Tamim tia im Hashem lekecha. You shall be complete with Hashem, your God. Okay, so what happened over here? He called to Eliezer, and he said, since you're like a three-pronged rope, a three-tired rope, so you're going to be tamim tia im Hashem lekecha. What's happening? Before Hashem have a few different explanations. The Bais HaGadol, the page that you have on the bottom, he says like this. Let's read it. This statement, I searched and I didn't find it. V'sha'alti, and I asked people, V'ein Peser, and nobody had any interpretation. Uladai Dinira, and to me it appears, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hokanus Omar Zeh al Atzmai. Rabbi Eliezer himself is saying this. Rabbi Eliezer Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer is saying this about himself. Like we said in the beginning of the Pek, Rabbi Eliezer Omer Ani Shomati. In the beginning of the Pek, we start off that Rabbi Eliezer is saying, I heard, meaning I understand this, this concept, the way we understood it. I understand this concept of the two paths and the different things. V'omar, he said, and Rabbi Eliezer is saying to us, Shekasher ha-melochim ha-yerishim al-kim ha-psachim mizarzim l'chol adam. Just like the angels who sit by the three entrances, they're mizariz people. They try to encourage people to do the right thing, to do tshuva or whatever. Kim karu v'zarzim l'Rabbi Eliezer. So too they called and they encouraged me. She yas cholasek b'teres, that I could start learning. Like we said, k'muvor le'el parak aleph. Like we said earlier in parak aleph, the Eliyahu Novi came and he tried to help out Rabbi Eliezer to try to get him to start learning Torah. So and Rabbi Eliezer is saying about himself that the Molochim were also trying to encourage me and start learning whatever, and I heeded to their encouragement and I went and I started learning, and that's how I became Rabbi Eliezer. And on that, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to him, you made yourself like a three-tired rope, meaning three malachim were being mizarius him, were trying to encourage him. So he made himself, and he listened to this. It's like a rope that has like three strings, that's made out of three strings. That's a stronger rope than a rope that's made out of, let's say, two strings. Chayaga, Hashem said, Chayaga, I swear that afani kari alacha zeh pasuk, I'm going to call about you this pasuk, turn me to you, Hashem alkecha. You're going to be complete with Hashem. Pirish, meaning, Mehashem shahaya yiya be'azrecha shetukha liya istamim. Ki kol abol atayr misayayin lay. It's coming from Hashem that when you decided that you're going to listen to the encouragement of these malachim, so it's coming from Hashem that you're going to be maslech and you're going to be complete with Hashem. Like Chazal tells us, kol abol atayr, a person is coming to be mitahir, is coming to do the right thing, misayayin lay. Hashem is going to help him out. So Rabbi Eliezer is saying that I also in my life I experienced this idea of where a person was sort of pushed on a path that he'd be able to do the right thing, and I was pushed on the path and I took advantage of it and I went on the right path, and Hashem said about me, you know, you listen to those three malachim that were encouraging you, so you're going to be maliach. The Radal, what?
When you say listen to those malachim, you mean not do what they're telling you?
No, mean
the three malachim that try to get you to go do, to the hand?
Right, no, the three malachim
were
the
four were.
That's true.
Four before and three after.
But here it says the malachim and Yoshim al Shlosh Patachim, meaning there were malachim sitting on the three doors, but.
Okay, Kubi, I'm not sure, but the point is that he listened to the call of this group of three people, three malachim. Right. That's the Bayis HaGadol's pshat. The Radal first says basically this pshat more or less, and then he says. He has a slightly different pshat. What does it mean? The chut amishulash, the three-stringed rope. Maybe he was bothered by what you guys are saying also, but he says that the three-stringed rope is a remes of Gemara, a Mishnah in Masechas Kedushin, Daf Mem Amud Beis. The Mishnah says that a person who is Isaac in Mishnah, Mikra, Mishnah, and Derech Eretz, about him the Torah says chut amishulash lebehema yinosik. A person who learns Mikra is Torah Shebachzav. Mishnah is Torah Shabbat Heh, and Eretz is the proper character traits. So about him, it says in Mishlei this pasuk, Chuda Mishulash Lebe Meir, not Mishlei, Kehelas, Chuda Mishulash Lebe Heimer Yilasek. A rope that's made out of three strings is not going to be easily opened. It's going to stick together. The three musketeers, the three makes it stick together. So he's saying that Rabbi Eliezer is saying about himself that I did these three things of Mikra, Mishnah, and Derech Eretz. Or another Mahalach, the Radal says that it's talking about Torah Avodah and Gemilas Chasadim. These are the three things. And Ma'atzim could be, he says that could be, this is like an introduction to the next parak. The next parak is going to start off with Al Shoysha Dvar Maha'ilam Ayamed Al Torah Avodah and Gemilas Chasadim, which is also a mission in Avos. So it says, could be that this line is really belongs to the next parak, or some sort of introduction to the next parak. This is another pshat. The Radal says, what's the three? The three is, there's a Gemara that says, Menachas, Mem Gimel Amid Beis. The Gemara says, Mishi Yesh Le Tefillin, Tzitzis and Mezuzah. A person has Tefillin, Tzitzis and Mezuzah. About him, the Torah says, Chudah Meshulash Lebe Meher Nasek. The same idea, that it's a Chudah Meshulash. Three things together makes us stronger. Then he in the footnote of it in the Radal, it says, another pshat, Chazal bring this pasuk, Chudah Meshulash Lebe Meher Nasek. The Gemara in Ksubis, Basra as well. The Gemara says that a person who he's a Talmud Chacham, his son's a Talmud Chacham, and his grandson's a Talmud Chacham, so the Torah is not going to leave his family deri deris. As it says in the Pasuk, Chudah Meshulash Lebe Meinasak, a rope that's made out of three strings is not going to be easily opened. Meaning you have the father, grandfather, and grandson. Father, grandfather, grandson. So not in that order, but it's still true. But it solidifies the Torah in that family. So it says, don't tell me that that's the pshat over here by Rabbi Eliezer, because it says it's we see in Perek Aleph that Rabbi Eliezer's father was an Amoritz. He didn't want his son to go learn. So he didn't have that mila. So it can't be referring to that Chazal. It has to be referring to one of these other pshatim that he said. That's what the Radal says. The Radal has another pshat also that it's talking about, it's going back on Shmuel Navi. I'm not so convinced about this pshat. It says it's going back on Shmuel Navi, and that Shmuel Navi had these three milas of Chesed, Tzedaka, and Mishpat. So, I don't know, we spoke about earlier that he had Chesed and Tzedaka. It didn't say anything about Mishpat. And why all of a sudden is it talk about Mishpat without even mentioning it? The Radal says that it's going back on Shmuel Navi, and that we're supposed to read it differently. Okay.
You can understand very well with Av. Avraham was Chesed, Yitzchak was Tefillah, Yaakov was Tov.
Yeah.
So we have the three between the end, right? Tzedaka is Avraham, Mishpat is Yitzchak, and Tov, which was the third one?
The Gvoz Chassadim.
Yeah.
Vayim Gvoz Chassadim, yeah. Maybe we'll speak about that next week when we speak about the three things, but another Nakuda. Okay, so I'm not so convinced of the Radal's other pshat. The Marzu has another interesting pshat. The Marzu changes the girsa, and the Radal's meramis to this in the last line of the Radal. Says, don't read it like, read it differently. V'chein hukari le'elazar, not le'eliezer, but le'elazar. Read it like that. It's talking about Elazar. What? Who's Elazar? Elazar, meaning Elazar Akoyin. The Marzu says a pshat like this. We find that of all the different Nevi'im that gave Nevuas, there's a certain darga of Nevuah that's higher than other dargas of Nevuah. The Nevuahs of Moshe Rabbeinu was not Stam a Nevuah. It's a higher darga of Nevuah called Torah. There's Torah and Nevi'im. Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuahs are a gather of Torah, not Nevi'im. Torah. Aaron HaKohen, also, his Nevuahs will also be gather Torah. There's a few parshas in the Torah that were said not to Moshe, but they were said to Aaron. Now there's a third person as well who his nevuahs are begeder Torah, and that's Elazar HaKohen, the son of Aaron. In Parashas Matos, when the Torah speaks about by Melchemes Midian, so when they came back from the war with Midian, the Jewish soldiers are so it says the pasuk Vayemer Elazar HaKohen El Anshe Atzava Haboyim LaMilchama Zeis Chukas HaTorah Asher Tziv Hashem. This is the Chukas HaTorah that Hashem commanded. All the vessels that you took from the booty of the war, if it was metal, put it in the fire in order to cleanse it. And you have to put it, if it was something that what didn't go into fire, so put it in water to cleanse it. Special halacha of kalim, that in order, kashering kalim and tefillas kalim, it was a special halacha that was set over to Elazar HaKohen, and Elazar HaKohen set it over, and it's written in the Torah, it's part of the Torah. So we have Moshe, Aaron, and Elazar. These three people are the ones that make up the Torah. So apparently, the way the Marzu understands it is like, so the way I understand it is like this. We said before that Shmuel Anavi had this mile of Chesed and Tzedakah. said the Shmuel Navi, Moshe and Aaron Mechayin over Shmuel Bekarishma. Shmuel Navi is equal to Moshe and Aaron. Moshe and Aaron had Chesed and Staka, and Shmuel Navi was also had Chesed and Staka. So the way I understood the Marzu is trying to say is that Bechayin Hu Karela Elazar. Also, what we said about Shmuel Navi that he is Chesed and Staka, also we said about Elazar Akayin that he is also Chesed and Staka. And then Amar LeKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem said to Elazar Akayin that you made yourself part of this chuda mishulash, you made yourself part of this rope that's made of three strings of Moshe, Aaron, and Elazar, that all three of them and them only are their nevuas are on the darg of Torah. Chayecha, that you're going to be tamim tiyayim Hashem lekecha. You're going to be zeicha to this darga of tmimus with Hashem, to be matzleich like that. That's where the Marzu understood what's happening over here at the end of the parak. Okay, that's still all of these pshatim are like a little bit daichik. It doesn't really fit so much necessarily to the words, but that's basically what they say. What time is it?
10:40.
Okay, so I brought with me Eitzim Midrashim. We're not gonna have time to go through it, but in Eitzim Midrashim from pages. From page 82 to page 95, he prints all kinds of interesting midrashim about descriptions of Gan Eden and descriptions of Gehenna. There's a lot of very interesting things that he speaks about over there. I'll just go over one of them. It's called, he calls it Sudas Gan Eden. That La'asid Lavoi, when Hashem is going to make a big Suda with all the tzaddikim, they're all going to come together.
This is Shor HaBor, right?
With the Shor HaBor and everything. So it says that he's going to ask them to he's going to ask Avraham Avinu to lead benching. Avraham is going to say, no, I can't lead benching. There's a similar Gemara in Pesachim about this. I can't lead benching. I had a son Yishmael who made a lot of tzaras in the world. I can't. It's not for me. Fine. So he goes to Yitzchak. He says, no, Yitzchak, you should lead benching. Yitzchak says, no, I can't. I have Esav was my descendant. Fine. He goes to Yaakov. He says, Yaakov, no, you all your descendants were good. You should lead benching. Yaakov, I married two sisters. It's not good. So says to Moshe Rabbeinu, you should lead benching. Moshe, no, I can't lead benching because I wasn't zeicher to go into Eretz Yisrael, so I don't feel like I'm ready to lead benching. So Hashem says, Yeshua, you lead benching. So no, Yeshua says, no, I can't lead benching. I wasn't zeicher to have any sons. The Gemara says that Yeshua only had daughters. Gemara and Megillah. So Hashem says, okay, goes to David Melech, says, David, tu ata uborech she'ata noim zmiris Yisrael. You take the case and lead benching because you sing beautiful zmiras for Klal Yisrael. Ve'atah nasi lehem, and you're the prince of Klal Yisrael. Shenemar ve'avdi David nasi lehem la'olam. And David says, yeah, ani avarech, I will make the bracha. Ve'lina le'vachantag, it's good for me to. It's fitting that I should lead benching because it says in the pasuk, David Melech said this. Kais Yeshuas Esav Hashem Hashem Akra. I'm going to hold the Kais Yeshuas and I'm going to call it in the name of Hashem. It says La'achar she'eichlin v'sheisim u'mevorchem, after they eat and they drink and they bench, maybe Kadosh Baruch has a Torah u'menicha b'cheika, Hashem brings the Torah and he puts it in their chest v'aisik bo, and they handle and they start learning b'tumah v'tara v'isra v'heter halachas agadas v'amar David shir lefnei Kadosh Baruch, and then David Melech says shir in front of Hashem v'oinim achar v'tzadikim omein yehesh v'rabba mevorach l'olam omein l'maya yisborach. And all the tzaddikim go and answer, "Many hishvei Abba Baruch Hu Olam Isparach."
And they say Isparach.
Yeah, I also found that interesting. So everyone answered the hishvei Abba mitoch Gan Eden from Gan Eden. Upoish Yisrael einin amen mitoch Gehenim. And the sinners of Kal Yisrael, they said amen from their spot in Gehenim. They all said amen. So Miyar Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Malachim. Hashem says to Malachim, Mihem Elu She'inin Amen Mitech Gehenim. Who are these people that are saying Amen from Gehenim? Amar Lefano. So Malachim tell Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, Halalu Peishe Yisrael. These are the sinners of Kal Yisrael. The Achapi Shehem Betzuga Deila. Even though they're in horrible distress over there in Gehenim, getting whatever horrible punishments they're getting, Mischazkim, they strengthen themselves. Amar Lefanecha Amen, and they say Amen in front of them. So Miyad Omer Kadosh Baruch Hu Malachim, Hashem immediately says to the Malachim, Pischo Lahem Shari Gan Eden, open the gates of Gan Eden for them. V'yavoyu v'yizamru lefanei, and they should come and then sing in front of me. Shinemar, it says in the pasuk, that's why I'm mentioning this, because we also handled this pasuk. Pischu sh'arim v'yavoy goy tzadik, shemer emunim. Open the gates, and the goy tzadik, the righteous nation, even the sinners of Klal Yisrael are called goy tzadik, the righteous nation, shemer emunim, the guardians of the emunah. Al tikre shemer emunim, the guardians of emunah. Elo sh'omrim amenim, rather the ones who say amen, they should come into Gan. So Hashem gives them a chance to come into Gan Eden, and that's what's going to be l'asid lovay, that all the people from Gehenna are going to end up going into Gan Eden. And we should take this as an opportunity to realize that you don't have to go to Gehenna in order to go to Gan to say amen. You can say amen here at Olam Hazeh. We could say amen and be machazik and saying amen and amen yehesh rabba. We could go to Gan Eden with Aham and go to Gehenna first.
Amen.
Right, amen.
Amen.
Yeah, Shemir Munim. As I was reading, we said guardians of Amunah. I was thinking of there's a Breslov book from Rav Arush. Guardian of Amunah. Alright, Shkayat for coming, have a good Shabbos.
Oh, that's very good.